Genesis 1 John 5:12-13, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the life. Yes, Lord Jesus, today we thank you, Lord, that we have life, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, we remember, Lord, how you came to the Pharisees, Lord, and you commented, Lord, that they had no life, Lord. Which is why you said in Luke 19:40, if my disciples do not praise me, the stones outside this place will start praising. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that we have life, Lord, hallelujah. When many people have died today, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you that we didn't add to the immortality, to the mortality rates, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you that we are alive, Lord, hallelujah. And well, Lord, hallelujah, to serve your kingdom. What the Lord said in Psalm 116:7 and following, in the New International Version, that you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. Yes, it is your soul that he has delivered from death. He has delivered my eyes from tears, and he has delivered my feet from falling, that I may walk before the Lamb, and that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And the scripture goes on to say, how can I repay the Lord for all the goodness which he has shown me? Yes, hallelujah. Many times we want the Lord to repay us. Many times we feel that the Lord owes us something. But the scripture says, the psalmist cried out in Psalm 116:12, how can I repay the Lord for all the things which he has done to me? The answer is we can't. But we can just offer him the little things that we have. We can offer him Todah, which is the sacrifice of praise. The word of the Lord says in Jeremiah 33:11, let us bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Praise is not always easy. Sometimes prayer is sacrifice. The word of the Lord says, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, he was in agony. So what did he do? He prayed more earnestly. He didn't stop. He didn't give up. He started sweating blood. But that only motivated him to pray more and more. Tonight we are here not just to sing songs. Tonight we are here not just to have fun. But we are here to thank the Lord our Savior, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word of the Lord says in 1 Peter 2:9 and following, that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why have we been called out of darkness into his marvelous light? To show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. A man of God said that we have been delivered to praise. That's right. This night, let's just thank the Lord that he has delivered our soul from death so that we might praise him. The word of the Lord said, if my people do not praise him, then who will praise him? If we cannot expect this bunch gathered here in Gandhinagar to exalt his name, then who is he going to fight? Is the Lord going to choose a new batch of people? No, the Lord is going to use us. He has great plans for all our lives. The word of the Lord says, what I start, no one can bring to completion except me. What man has started will be destroyed. Yes, all the man-made religion, all the bondage that has been started by Satan and man in this country and in this nation will be destroyed because it has been started by man. But know that the Lord is starting a new work here in Cochin. The Lord is starting a new work in India. The Lord is starting a new work in the world which Satan, which nobody, which not the entire force of hell can stop, no matter how hard they try. Because the word of the Lord says in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away, says the Lord God. The word of the Lord says, the word that I speak will not return void. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what we think. Hallelujah. Because the word of the Lord says in Romans 4:21, what the Lord has promised, he will perform. Hallelujah. What the Lord has promised, he will perform. Let us exalt.
before your throne to intercede, Lord. To come before your throne to thank you, Lord, for this ministry, Lord, of intercession. We want to thank you, Lord, for this ministry of intercession, Lord. Especially, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for this ministry. I want to pray for each and every brother and sister of mine, every vessel in this place, who have been approaching your throne in true intercession, Lord, who have been thankful before your presence, Lord, with true burden, Lord, asking, Lord, your hand to be upon the lives of everyone, Lord. I want to thank you for every one of them, and I want to lift them up in your presence this evening. And I want to pray, Father, that you will bless them, Lord, with your strength, for your word declares in Proverbs 11, verse 25, he who waters shall himself be watered. These your people have been watering, Lord, through prayer and intercession. I pray that you will anoint them, wherever they might be, our children in Bangalore, Lord, our people in Bangalore, Lord, in different parts of the city, Lord, of this nation, Lord, and across the world, Lord, who have been crying forth in your presence, Lord, approaching your throne. I want to pray that you will bless them. You are the one who judges one by looking at the heart. Anoint us, Lord, to be prayer warriors, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I stand here as a vessel. I humble myself. I give myself unto you. Anoint me for your vessel. Let your name be glorified. And Jesus be all the glory. Without you, I can do nothing. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's all come together. I mean, some of you are in one corner, some of you are in that corner, some of you are in that one. Hallelujah. So we want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness in the ministry of intercession. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know most of you here have been praying and praying and spending time in the presence of God. Sometimes maybe you could not come here together, but you were in your own home, in your own room, in your own personal prayer time, praying before God, asking the Lord to pour out his grace and glory upon the body. Amen? Hallelujah. He's heard your prayer. Now, there's never been a time when I've gone to the pulpit or when I've gone to an outreach this year where I've felt the very strong need of intercession, and I know the only time that I call up back home, I don't even call to speak to my mother when I'm on a crusade. But the only time that I call is to let someone in the ministry who is interceding, in the intercession ministry, who is to call them up and tell them what to pray, when to pray, how to pray, just continue to pray. And I know those prayers have been reaching in the presence of God, and the answer has been coming. And I'm so grateful personally for each one of you for praying and for just being there as a support. Hallelujah. You are the light of this body of Christ. Amen. You are the light. You know that you are the light. The intercessor or the prayer warrior is the one who is instrumental for the body of Christ staying together, is instrumental for the glory of God resting upon a ministry. It is the intercessor who is responsible. Not anyone else. Not even the preacher. Not even the preacher, not even the teacher, not even the evangelist, not anyone who does anything, but it is the intercessor who is responsible for a ministry staying together, for a ministry staying in the holiness of God, staying in the power of God, staying in the work of God, continuing the work of God. It is the intercessor. No one else. And that is why, you know, tonight I want to preach a lot. But some things which has been powerful. One of the great men of God, he said, to save lost souls is God's business. Say, to save souls is God's business.
To save souls is God's business.
But to do what God tells us to do is our business. Are you with me? To save souls is God's business. But to do what God tells us to do is our business. And that is why in 1 Timothy chapter 2 it says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 5.
I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Yes.
For kings, and that all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty.
Yes.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
Yes.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Oh.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
That's right. Amen. Now here it says, I exhort first of all the supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So it means that a prayer warrior has got a lot to do with how a nation will handle itself for the gospel work. Are you with me? People have prayed for nations and for the leaders of the nations, and this nation has been changed. Before Paul Young-Joo ever was used as an instrument for God bringing in a revival into South Korea, whereby when South Korea, a Buddhist nation, 100 years back, in the last 100 years, 37%, if I'm right, 37% of that nation came to Christianity. But 2,000 years of Christianity in India, and only 4% of this nation has still come to the Lord. You know why? Because Young-Joo understood the only one who could do the job was God himself. And he had to do God's work, God's way. And so the first thing that he did was to make sure there were prayer centers in different parts of Korea. And he made sure those prayer centers were working there and spending 24-hour prayer centers. And they were approaching the presence of God. 24 hours, prayer centers and prayer caves and all that. And people would pray. And the greatest ever book, if you can get one in your hand, is the book written by Young-Joo on prayer. That is the greatest gospel books, the best bookseller, or the best book. And the book on prayer, where he teaches on the discipline of prayer. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has to teach us through great men of God on how to pray. Are you with me? And it is those prayer that saved the country and coming to Jesus. 35% of the country came to Jesus, 37%. Because there was a man of God who understood the importance of intercession and who trained up the church to intercede and pray. Today, more than anything else, we need to know how to pray. It is said that when a church that was having problems with their pastor, because they would find the pastor was always sick, was always struggling with something or the other, and he couldn't minister the pulpit. And you know what they did? If you will read the book by Peter Wagner on prayer, he says the church began to get together into prayers and began to pray, calling upon the pastor. And they understood that the minute they began to do it, the pastor was in good health, and the prayer that was made around him began to be instrumental for God bringing in a revival to the church and to the city. Amen. Here God's word says, first prayer made to the nation, for the nation to come to the Lord, for kings and people in authority. Are you with me? Yes. People in spiritual authority more than anyone else. Now, it is said that the prophets do not have much sermons, but they have tears. Are you with me? A prophet does not have much sermons, but he's got tears in his hands. He's got a burden in his heart. The greatest thing that one can do for God and for man is to pray. What is true intercession? It says here, it is the language of a man burdened with a sense of need. It is the burden of a man who understands the need. It is the language. And that language or that burden and that need makes him go before the presence of God and say, Father, I approach your throne without your grace, without your glory. There is absolutely nothing that I can do. Anoint, set free. And the minute he begins to pray, the minute he begins to cry out to God, he knows that God hears him. He said that in 1 Timothy 2, if you will read those scriptures very carefully, he says, God desires that all men to be saved, and there is one mediator between God and man. So what does it say? That intercession be made, which means that intercession and salvation of souls are interconnected. If a man will intercede, then he will see souls being saved. Now, I used to remember, before I ever stepped into a pulpit to preach, I used to remember, I used to get up from here in the morning, take my Bible, go to the church sitting there, get to the church, there would be not a single person. I would sit there from about 9 in the morning till about 4 in the evening. I would sit there with the Bible like that. And I would pray and pray and pray and pray. Sometimes I just close the door, sit there and pray and pray and pray and pray. Nothing else. Never in my wildest dream did I ever think that I would preach. The reason that I would pray was because that was the only thing that I knew how to do. You know, I remember the first time I would preach and all the people would say, "You're going too fast. Slow down." I mean, it's too deep and all those critics will come. In prayer time, no critics. I found more comfort in prayer. One thing without people putting you down. Some of you, we need to get into your prayer rooms and pray before God. Are you with me? Today, just one word is what I want to give to you. He said that the greatest people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor people who can explain about prayer, but I mean the people who take time to pray. Do you understand that? The greatest people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer. We all believe in prayer. Nor people who can explain about prayer, but I mean the people who take time to pray. Some people, the only prayer that they heard is the prayer when they are hurt for their wedding. Are you kidding? Not even the graveyard have they heard a prayer. Last prayer we make. The only prayer that they may heard is the prayer when they win the church or wedding. That too, God alone knows if they heard. Today I want to take one scripture and I want to spend some night tonight just to pray according to the scripture. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. He was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Strong word from a prophet. "Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord. Now that is prayer. That's where I want to teach you in this session. When he heard the word from God saying, as he set his house in order, he is going to die and not live. And he was sick and near death. And the prophet has given the verdict. And the prophet has spoken forth. The minute the prophet says that and goes, what he does is he turns around. The first step of intercession is to turn around. He turns his face towards the wall, which meant that he shut himself from everything else. He could have gone before behind the prophet and said, "Prophet, prophet, please you pray. You are a prophet after all. If God has spoken, then I'm going to die. Please you pray. After all, you are Isaiah the prophet. You even prophesied about the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. You know everything. Please you pray." But he didn't. Hezekiah the king, he knew his circumstance. He knew it was on the point that then he knew unless the God had spoken to him, unless he prayed, unless he put his house in order, he would die. But the minute he heard that word, all that he did was to turn around, put his face towards the wall, which meant that he looked to no man. Are you with me? Intercession is always looking up to God. That's why we believe there's only one way to intercede. Saying the rosary is not intercession. As a matter of fact, it can be demonic. The only way to pray is to pray by looking to the Lord. Are you with me today? So he turned around. That's the first thing. He turned around from looking to people. He turned around from looking to his situation. He could have gone behind Isaiah, or he could have thought about his situation and said, "I'm still feeling miserable." There are people who look at the situation around, they still feel miserable and they're still. Revival is revival in 102 nations, Lord. What about it? Nothing. We haven't even gone out of Kerala. The only place that I have gone as far as the Talwa. Hallelujah. Are you with me? What you need to do is you take your eyes off the circumstance. True intercession believes that the answer can come from God alone, and that you need to take your eyes off people, you need to take your eyes off situations, of circumstances, and you need to have an undivided heart. That's what it means. Remember, Ezekiel, what he knows, turned his face towards the wall. Have you ever prayed like that?
I've done.
That man, that still so much about his tongue.
Lord! Lord, please!
You begin to pray. The bigger you begin to pray, sometimes the burden comes upon you.
You begin to cry, you begin to cry, but you don't let go of the Holy Christ sitting there.
Come on.
Praise God.
You know what happened when Ezekiel cried and prayed like that? Do you know that intercession or prayer brings an immediate result? The minute he began to pray, you know what happened? The Bible says, after Isaiah had spoken the word, he had only gone out into the middle court, not even to the outer court. By the time Isaiah, Ezekiel turned around and he said, Lord, you alone can help me in this, please help me. The Bible says, Ezekiel, the minute he did that, Isaiah had only gone down to the middle court. God spoke to Isaiah and said, go and say the verdict has been cancelled. You're going to live on for 15 more years. It means sometimes a soul-searching, a faith-filled, a true, heartfelt prayer from the very depth of your being can be heard in the presence of God, and the answer can come immediately. Not even the outer court, can you imagine? It's like I'm sitting in that room there, somebody comes to me and says, please, and the person just reached this room, not even to the gate. But I have turned around and kept my head against the wall and cried to God. Don't cry to the wall. What happened? Hallelujah. Before the prophet had gone out, God heard it. God said, church the world. You're going to live on for 15 more years. Return and tell Ezekiel, the leader of my people. Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. I've heard your prayers. Can you imagine that? God said, I know your praying. Even before we had gone on the middle court, I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. Which means the true prayer has got to do with brokenness and healedness before God. And I will heal you, surely I will. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years, and I will deliver you at the city. Not only did Ezekiel live for 15 more years, but God again further, if you will check the scriptures later on. But remember, this is the key. To true prayer, and the prayer that will touch the heart of God, is to turn away from situation, no matter what situation you are in. Are you with me? Turn away from people, turn yourself to God. Look to God. And pray from your heart. And cry from your heart. Release your faith from your heart. And the answer comes right there. God knows. It is said that intercession is evangelism on knees. Intercession is evangelization on your knees. Some people will never step out and preach to people. You know why? Because they have never felt anything towards the people. It is said that if you have to be a shepherd, you have to love your sheep. Otherwise, you can be a carpenter. Why be a shepherd? Are you with me? And if you are sacred about evangelization, and if you are interested about evangelization, it means you are concerned about the salvation of souls. It means you are burdened with the needs of those people. It means that when you step out there and you look at those people, you feel that pain. You understand the agony. You know the shame. You know the struggle. And that you know that God alone can answer that. And because of that, you're going on your knees with that sense of need and crying. And that's what gives you the compassion when you stand before Him. Is it said that Evan Roberts, when the Welsh revival took place, he would be a man so strong in prayer, he would intercede and pray for the revival to come forth on that nation. His prayer was so strong, sometimes after times of prayer, he would come out and he would come into a pulpit or onto a street corner or onto a church or onto a building or to a barn. You know, revival used to take place in barns and street corners, in the hills and valleys and by the rivers and all that. He went over to walk and, you know, he would preach by the valley to 10 people. Those 10 people would go and spread in the houses and in the mountaintops and on the hills. And then those people would go from there. The revival would break out. And they would go from there and, you know, hold barn meetings. And people would come into the barns and they would listen to the gospel. And people would go. Sometimes Evan Roberts would come. He would just stand before the crowd. And he would say, Jesus loves you. And begin to cry. And the presence of God would come and touch those people. And they knew Jesus actually loved them. Because he had stood in the gap. Today all of us want to go for outreach. We don't feel anything for the people. We don't feel anything for the people who are ministering there. You know, the only times that I found somebody feeling something for the people who are ministering there are people who have come with me for ministry. You go there 2 times of ministry, 5 times of ministry, you know the struggle that goes on. I found that when the outreach goes, they are the ones who come faithfully and they also pray. No matter what happens, they pray. Because they themselves have gone through it. The people who have not gone through it, they think it is something very easy. You know, I wish I could go for outreach once, you know, nothing like it. Because they only hear after coming from the crusade, you know, you have chicken biryani in the plate. Amen. How many of you with me tonight? Zoom in the session. Ezekiel 22. Brings in evangelism on knees. Don't go to a people who have never, for whom you have never prayed. Don't go with a ministry for with whom you have never prayed. You're stepping into a shoes of a hireling and you can go astray. Never step out. I never step out even for a Sunday meeting without praying for you guys. Even if it's a Friday evening service. Even if it's in the same meeting. I make sure I cry before God for some time and pray. Before I ever stand there. Never go and minister to a people whom you have never prayed for. For that is selfish. It's got nothing to do with God. Never go with a team for whom you have never prayed or supported. For that is just convenience. And you can step into a time of just being a hireling if you ever step into ministry. And you can go wondering about cost to rent. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30.
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none.
Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1.
Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. If there be any that execute judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it.
Isaiah 62, verse 6.
forsaken the people of the house of Jacob, because they be replenished.
Isaiah 62, verse 6.
Sorry.
I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold a feast day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent.
That's right. That means after some time you will stop. That means stay for 2 days, 3 days. And they stop after that. 63 and verse 6.
I have trodden down the people in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth.
63 verse 5, pardon me.
I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm bought salvation for me, and my own fury I sustained.
Enough. If you will look into the scriptures, and if you look through all this in the New Testament, you will find nowhere is God going about looking for a creature. Nowhere is God going around looking for a teacher, for a miracle worker, for a man who will do signs and wonders and miracles. But you will find time and again in the scripture God looking for people who will stand the gap. Because God knows if somebody can stand the gap, God can trust them with something more. Are you with me? He's looking for someone who will stand the gap, will stay in the gap. Now remember, this is one of the most powerful things. In Isaiah 66 and verse 8 says, as long as Zion travailed, she gave birth to her children. As long as Zion travailed, travailing has got to do with childbearing. As long as you are some of the ladies changing, how is it when the baby is about to come out? You listen to Walkman music and lie there. No. There is much pain. Are you with me? Sometimes they sweat. Sometimes they are panicking. They want to hold on. They might just pray when the baby comes out. Are you with me? As long as I want to remain in prayer, God says she brought forth children. As long as she travailed, which meant that there is an agony in intercession. Intercession, true intercession, is called the agony of the soul. Agony of the soul, where your soul, every self-interest. You have to understand this. If you stand in the pulpit, people will come and say, oh my God, you're so good, so nice. If you lead worship, someone will like you. People get excited. And you feel good about it. Some people just move into ministry. You know why? Just to have some kind of self-worth. They've got no burden for the kingdom of God. No burden for the souls. That's why you find them 10 days or 10 months without ministry, without doing anything. They have to simply sit at home, read some spiritual books. They'll be insecure. Because they get a kind of self-esteem when they stand there. It happens to preachers. It happens to ministers of the gospel. It's happened to me. It happens to everyone. But intercession has got to do with agony of the soul. Where self-death comes. You know the reward is there at the hand of God. Yeah. That even that person does not know you're praying for. Anything that is something very sad? Sometimes you feel good, you know. I pray. I'm so glad it's wrong. I pray. Did you pray to make him happy or did you pray to make God? Did you pray for your son's birth? Did you pray for what is worthwhile in the kingdom of God? True intercession, travail. It's an agony of the soul. It's a painful thing. That's what brings forth the children. You remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 47? It says, so they continue temple Can you daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the men and all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Say, the Lord added to the church. Daily those who are being saved. The Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Well, there was a revival going on there. I mean, people are being saved and they're brought into the church. You know the reason for that? The key is this. The 42nd verse says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship has got to do with worship. Fellowship, worshipping the Lord together. Fellowship, that word has got to do with worshipping the Lord together. It just not, does not mean sitting there and, you know, speaking about each other. It means worshipping the Lord together, sustaining one. It does not mean worshipping God together. It meant they came to pray. Are you with me? So that was the key for the revival of souls being coming into the kingdom of God. Every soul was being saved. Why? Daily they would meet together. They would spend some time preaching the word, fellowshipping, worshipping God, edifying each other with the gifts. They would partake of the Lord's table. And they would pray. Simple basic, they would pray. Yeah, I remember the first time in our ministry, every Friday was a time that we would spend time, at least some time in intercession. So, and that would bring in the people to understand that those people are powerful, and they were testing something about this intercession to pray, they would go back and bring in those good reports about how the prayer was answered. Then what happened was, as the ministry grew, I thought, okay, let them have a nice time on Friday evening, and all that, let them just receive. So I spent more time just preaching the word. Yes, Sunday was preaching the word. So what I found in due time, and which many pastors have found in their churches, is that when people began to be fed like that and given, just, you know, they forgot the offering of sacrifice of praise. They forgot the reason for their existence spiritually of prayer. They forgot all that, and the mentality of, instead of coming to give, came to come to receive. So their spiritual productivity in the kingdom of God began to be blocked. Are you with me today? That's why Psalms 2. In Psalms 2, the verse 8 says, Psalm 2 and verse 8 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And then two nations, we don't just go like that. Monday morning we get up and somebody calls, Benning Ministry calls up and says, come to Orlando Christian Center. Ask them and pray and I will give. Thank you for Jesus, we look at it. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the end of the earth for your possession. Which means God is saying, Joshua generation, if you want every place that you set your foot upon to belong to you as your victory land, as God's possession, first before you ever set your foot there, you need to ask of me so that the very end of the earth can become your possession. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. Some of you sitting here, you want to hear about intercession. You want to listen to about intercession. But some of you have really no desire to intercede. I don't blame you. It just happens that you should know about yourself, that you are a very self-seeking person. And that is the biggest sin of all. Where a man can walk righteously in doing much good and all that in his own pleasure, remember? In Luke 18:9, it says about two people. One man stood there and said, I pay my tithes, I come to church, I'm faithful, I read the Bible, everything. Another man, he came and said, I'm not worthy to stand in your presence. Luke even speaks about the self-righteousness as a barrier. The heading for that parable or that story which Jesus said is self-righteousness. Some of you have found in the initial years of your life you had some burden. What about you, George? Today your family becomes more important. Your ambitions become more important. Somehow it gets blocked. The mission of God, purpose of God. It just happens to know that you just slip back into yourself. You're good. You don't know much you don't do much evil or sin. Just yourself. You just need to allow Jesus to reign one more time in your heart. So He can do His plans to you. Are you with me tonight? Intercession, true intercession, is an agony of the soul. Is the man crying before God because he finds the need? Have you ever found a need? Except for your own lives? I've seen sometimes you walk into an intercession room, you hear people pray, their own needs. That's called supplication. You can do it in your personal prayer time. That's called supplication. You can spend time with that need. God will honor that need. God will answer that need. But it's also just self. When you step in there praying for someone else, knowing the reward comes from God. What is that reward? Get back to Isaiah 62. Read on from verse 6 onwards. Isaiah 62 verse 6 onwards. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day or night, who do not make who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give no rest till He establish, until He make Jerusalem a place in the earth. It's got to do with prayer that you start for someone. Yesterday evening somebody was showing me a book. On the book, He has written all the people that she prays for. She's my list. She's every day prayed. She said, I'm so touched. That is prayer. But remember, true intercession is God the word is. He gives them no rush till He establishes and makes in Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Sometimes it is so easy for us to start praying and say, Lord, touch this brother, touch this sister, touch Lord, our work in Madras, bless it, Lord, bless it, bless it, bless it, bless it. Anointing, 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 anointing. That's going to be a great reward and that's going to be a great anointing. Bless Lord. But you don't wait to get the freedom in the spirit to know that actually your prayer can answer. The burden has been released unto God and the peace has come. He does not keep quiet till He establishes. Till God establishes. Which means that intercession is a prayer that not only you start, but you see the completion also.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You start and the Lord completes. You know what the beauty is? You will find your life radically changed if you will do it. Sometimes I've seen that God puts a burden in my spirit, pray for someone, and I pray and I pray 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I pray and I pray and I pray. But still I find the release has not come forth. But I have to get up, I have to do my cooking, I have to do this, I have to do that. Not cooking, but I have to do my own stuff, you know. I have to cook the food, spiritual food. But I have to do other things. And you look at all that and okay, sometimes I have to prepare notes in between, I get a prayer burden for someone and I pray and I pray. And I'm preparing the note here. Oh my God, I'm praying and I'm praying and you will find that when you do that, sometimes you have to get up and do something else and go off, but you pray hard, you feel the release out. You say, Lord, I want to sustain this. Help me sustain this. You go off, you'll find. Send the God moving that burden into your spirit through a militant tongue, or through a strong prayer language, or through a strong prophecy, or through a strong word confession, and He will bring in a release immediately. Or you will find, suddenly, He will bring in a peace at that time, and then He will allow you to do all the work. And suddenly when you think you can catch up on your afternoon sleep and you lie down. Yes.
suddenly begin to pray. And it feels so good.
It's like to sleep in the night and you get up.
You sit there after doing everything you're supposed to do and lying there. And suddenly beat in the night, suddenly find the hand of God coming and touching you and say, get up, son, pray now. This is the time to finish that prayer to start. And you will find what a fellowship you have with the Holy Spirit. There is such a joy that will be your soul just to know that God actually remembers that you prayed up and He wants you to continue it. They want to hear your voice. Yeah. As it happened with anyone like, that's you. Amen. The time that I played out and I just come to sleep, in between 3 o'clock or 2:30, to find the sweet presence of God coming and listening to you, you pray. You just want to kneel down and you just want to lie before the presence of God and pray to the Lord. And you pray and pray and pray, and suddenly the feeling comes and the release comes and the presence comes. He who water shall himself, what joy will be your soul.
You remember in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 and 10 says, today you have been hearing that word so many times. He's called you out of darkness to declare His glory. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light to declare His glory and show forth His praise. Well, what does it say? You are a chosen generation. Right? I want you to open your scripture, 1 Peter 2. You know the scripture. But I want you to open it up. 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation. Say chosen generation. Which means that God has chosen you. Are you with me? Then it says a royal priesthood. Say a royal priesthood. You know what a priest was supposed to do in the Old Testament? He was supposed to pray for the people. Are you with me? He was standing in the presence of God for His people. That's what a priest was supposed to do. He was supposed to offer a sacrifice for the people. He was supposed to blow those incense for the people. God is saying to you, you are a chosen priest. It means you have to be chosen to be a royal priest. The order is so important. Then it says nothing in the Bible is just like that. You know? Every order is important. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Are you with me? Then comes a holy nation. Which means holiness has got to do, a lot to do with the priestly ministry that you do. It's got to do with the priestly ministry that you do. And then says, His own special people. God is saying, I'm so happy. He is not only my chosen, but He's kept His priesthood well. He's been holy. My own special people. Oh, whenever I think of Rajesh, God is saying, hallelujah. I'm so happy. Whenever I think of Vinipati, God is saying, I'm so happy. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him. And one of the meanings of the word praise is to declare His deeds. Hallelujah. It's got to do with what you do behind the scene in the presence of God. You hear me? Who called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light? Once you were not His people, but you are now His people. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained the mercy. Hallelujah. How many of you understand this? How many of you are with me today? Some of you would have liked if I was preaching on something else, spiritual warfare, or if I was preaching on Holy Spirit and gifts and all that. You say, oh my God, it's so exciting. My brother, you will only move in God's blessings and strong and strength only if you're faithful to this one promise. If God has chosen you, first and primary reason He's chosen you is to be a royal priesthood. And then you will find when you are a royal priesthood, you know the secret? Then you become the holy nation. Remember this. Remember this. You will have the manifested holiness of God manifesting through your life when you do your priestly ministry in God.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because if you need to do a priestly ministry in God, Psalms 24 and Psalms 15, it says that one thing. This is powerful. Say it's powerful.
It's powerful.
Say it only if you believe it.
Amen.
The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded upon the seas and established upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Are you with me? So, the prayer warrior, he has got clean hands. That's why God's word says in James 4 and verse 7 and 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Beautify your hearts. You double-minded. Which means the man is not double-minded. If he should walk into the holy place and pray for someone else, he needs to have clean hands.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? He first understands his calling. He knows he's a chosen generation. Because he knows he's a chosen generation, he knows God is the one who sanctifies him. And so he knows, immediately because God sanctifies him, he can stand in the holy place. And so he knows he has to have clean hands and a pure heart. He's not lifted up his soul to an idol, which means he's not placed anything above the Lord in his heart. He's not sworn deceitfully. You know the word deceitfully sworn? It means he's not vowed deceitfully. One of the meanings. It means if you approach the throne, you need to keep a promise before God. Are you with me? Otherwise, the God will love you and honor you and look upon you with compassion and mercy. But it's time you moved out of that shallowness and you did what God wanted you to do by moving into where God wants you to go. It means you keep your vows before God. Some people, that's why every time I ask you who will pass it, but people lift up their hands. Sometimes I ask them, are you sure you will? Otherwise, don't lift your hands. And I say, they'll pray. And immediately, why do I say, I'll pray an anointing upon you? Because I do not want you to be deceitful in keeping, not keeping what God's told you to do. Are you with me? So I pray the man in the presence of God saying, Lord, help them, urge them. No stone deceived, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of the salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Or who seek your face. So a royal priesthood, remember, God calls you, then he makes you a royal priesthood, which means a prayer warrior. He's got some standards to keep. If you are daily in business, it means you daily clean your vessel clean. Are you with me? And then, what happens? When you begin to watch forth others, the glory of God begins to come upon you. And you yourself are worthy. And you become a holy nation. God says, special people, power of darkness unto his marvelous. That's one of the ways of turning a session. See, that's one of the ways, if you understand it here. Amen. Second one, come. Look, Isaiah 62. What happens? 8 verse. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain to be food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. It means a lot of things. One, it means that he is going to give you divine protection. He shall not give you grain to be food for your enemies, which means he'll give you divine protection. Two, it means not only will you have divine protection, but it means that the very work of your hand will be blessed. You will see the fruit. You remember when John 15 says fruit, then says more fruit, then says much fruit. Then says fruit that lasts. That's very important. Just not fruit for some time. How many of you would like to have fruit that lasts? How many of you know that there's a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self control, all that. The times you have it. Are you with me? The times you're full of joy. God. The times people say, oh my God, Pastor is so patient. The other times he will make others patient. You will give. Hallelujah. The fruit that lasts is fruit that will last. Well, that's what it means. God will not only protect you, but you will have fruit that endures. It means you will be fruitful. No one will steal your fruit. Are you with me? It means your wife cannot drive you mad. It means your mother cannot drive you mad. that she doesn't. And those who have gathered shall eat it and praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord.
Praise God.
And those who brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. Which means they will have a stronger relationship by feasting of God's presence. That's what it means. They will have the enjoyment in the holy courts, not by themselves. Are you with me? You work 9 to 5, they give you a salary. Do you go and enjoy the salary in your office? I'm the pipe writer and I can work. You don't know. But since you are seeking for the kingdom of God and spending your time in the presence of God for an eternal reward, remember, the beauty of God's glory begins to be manifested in your life, where you are able to enjoy God's presence more. Are you with me? You are able to enjoy the gifts and the grace. It means you never get tired of your spiritual walk.
Yes.
Some people get monotonous, they get tired, enough of what? Enough you should say to MTV. Enough you should say to BTV. It's giving you no happiness, no joy. Don't fool yourself. But it's giving you joy and peace and presence is spending time in the presence of God. How many have ever felt peaceful sitting in front of an MTV? Every time you're sitting there, you're feeling angry with yourself. You're praying the pastor will not call you at that time. It's night time. So try and just remember these precious promises. That's what we'll continue on. We'll start the first hour, the first of January intercession also with maybe. And then we'll ask God to anoint that first with fresh glory and grace.
Amen.
The ministry of intercession, we'll ask God to move his hand. But tonight we want to give our note and God to glory. And before you go, I want you to spend maybe 5 minutes, but I want you to just take a position just by the wall somewhere. Look fast, come on, quick. Just get up, just move towards the wall. Just turn away from everyone else, everything else. One thing I want you to pray for tomorrow, especially the presence of God, manifest the presence of God to be there on our service. And, evening service, 31st night, you want to start and there with presence and power of God. I just want you to pray for that. I want you to pray for the nations to come to the Lord, the nations to come to the Lord, the ministry, outreach is to be empowered. I want you to just pray for us, each of you pray for one or other need. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will guide you for one. Either for a nation, either for the ministry, outreach, maybe for the Madras one, maybe for your family, that just the families be saved, the promise, people to be released financially, to be released from poverty. Just start praying. Just cry for God. Just pray. I'm just happening.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer tonight. Tonight, we thank you for having given us the intercession burden, Lord. Thank you for anointing us, Father. Tonight, I pray for everyone who is in this place and everyone else in our ministry wherever they are. That your glory will be their company. We thank you, for Lord, for realizing us to the truth of the ministry of intercession. And bless us with an anointing. Your word in Zechariah 12 verse 10 that you will anoint us with the spirit of supplication and grace. Anoint us that we might be people faithful to you. We might be, Lord, hallelujah, always a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Tonight we thank you for having heard our prayer. We bless your name and we give you the glory and the thanks. We thank you, O God, that you are the one who hears us when we call. Bless your people with strength. Let your glory be our covering. You are the head of this ministry. You are the Lord of this church, Holy Spirit. Glorify Jesus and keep us in him at all times. Tonight, send your people with your presence, with your peace. Knowing that you are able to save us to the uttermost, everyone approaches you. May everything we prayed for be in your hands. And we thank you that you will anoint us to be in your ministry at all times. Bless and keep us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't it powerful?
Amen.
Let us come together this time, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to sing this song as a song that will
allow us to know that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Doors of ministry, doors of blessings, of protection, of glory, of grace, of strength, of holiness, remind us all to be open. The kingdom of God's doors, stay open at all times for our lives. He's promised us. For your own personal needs, you open a way today.